The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you anointed Jesus at his baptism with the Holy Spirit and revealed him as your beloved Son. Keep all who are born of water and the Spirit faithful in your service, that we may rejoice to be called children of God through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
The first reading is from Isaiah. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 29 responsively. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due God's name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is a powerful voice. The voice of the Lord is a voice of splendor.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
The Lord makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Mount Hermon like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord bursts forth in lightning flashes.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord makes the oak trees writhe and strips the forest bare. And in the temple of the Lord, all are crying, Glory!
The Lord sits enthroned above the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forevermore.
O Lord, give strength to your people. Give them, O Lord, the blessings of peace.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Acts. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Our
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. And the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. One day between Christmas and or Thanksgiving and Christmas this year, I went with a couple of my colleagues, pastors from the city, and we drove to Los Angeles to tour the Roman Catholic Cathedral there. Our Lady of the Angels, the name of that cathedral. It's the largest cathedral in the United States. And they have, it was built in 2002, they have tapestries going all around the building. And on the sides of the walls, it's the communion of saints. You know, some churches have stained glass windows or statues with the different saints. And this church has all these tapestries with the communion of the saints. But my favorite tapestries are the ones that are on the back wall above the baptismal font. There are five panels and they're 47 and a half feet tall, and I don't know how wide they are, but these five panels, and they're one touching another. The four outer panels are the woven colors of sand and water. It's an amazing tapestry. The center panel is the baptism of Jesus. This is an amazing piece of art. John Neve, I think is how it's pronounced, N-E-V-E, a portrait painter, did these tapestries, drew them, and then through the modern wonders of computers and electronics, emailed his drawings to a loom in Belgium. And these tapestries were loomed and crafted in Belgium. Gorgeous. So this tapestry of John baptizing Jesus, which dominates this whole back wall, so, you know, 50 feet of this beautiful thing. And in the center is John, seems to be kind of floating on the rest of this water. John is dressed in rather ordinary clothes, his hair, dark hair, kind of unkempt, his very serious look on his face, a look of maybe concentration. Maybe it's a look of wonder or confusion, but he has the look just draws you in. Jesus is kneeling in front of him, and we see he's sitting back on his heels, sitting on his heels of his feet, and his feet are dirty and smudged, calloused. and his hands probably folded in his lap the way his arms are. It looks like his hands are folded. So what you see is a bowed head and this strong back. He's wearing a white cloth around his waist. And John's holding a small bowl, tipping this bowl, and the water is pouring down on Jesus' head. When I first saw that tapestry, I thought, I wished the artist would have reversed the characters so that I could see Jesus' face instead of looking at John and seeing the back of Jesus. I wanted to see Jesus' face. And as I stood and looked at this tapestry for quite a while and kind of was thinking that thought, I wish I could see Jesus' face. Then I turned around to leave that area, and here's the rest of the church, all of the people in the congregation, the rest of the world, as it were, facing me. And I thought, the artist did get it just right. Because the face of Jesus is not on some tapestry, but the face of Jesus is here as we look at one another and as we face the world and see the face of Jesus there. The baptism of Jesus, according to Mark, tells us so clearly who Jesus is. Not some woven picture on a tapestry, not some figure painted or sculpted, but the face of Jesus alive. This baptism of Jesus that we just heard about in Mark's gospel marks the beginning of Jesus' public life and the proclamation of who Jesus is. Now, from his birth in Bethlehem, and then the visit of the Magi, and his dedication in the temple, we fast forward from last Sunday to this Sunday, about 30 years, till we get to this beginning of his ministry. And when we look at the baptism of Jesus, we hear the truth of who Jesus is. And because we are the brothers and sisters of Jesus, this is also the truth of who we are. Jesus' baptism provides a sign that Jesus is who God says he is. And our baptism is a sign that we also are who God says we are. We are his sons and daughters. We who have put on Christ are claimed as God has sought and claimed human beings since the very beginning of time. We are also part of that wonderful story of God's chosen people, redeemed, called by name, claimed by God. We can't see Jesus' face in that baptismal tapestry as we stand gazing at the back wall. But when we turn around and head out the door, we see the face of Jesus. Some of my colleagues have kept track of the number of baptisms that they've participated in throughout the years. Dale, did you keep track? You don't know either. I've never counted how many, but there's many. And all of them are memorable, wonderful celebrations of God's love made tangible. I remember those baptisms, but I don't remember my own baptism. I was an at-risk preemie, and I was baptized the moment that I was born by a Catholic nurse in the delivery room. While I don't remember the event of my baptism, I do remember my baptism. Last week, I told you about a seminary professor of mine who had the bumper stickers made that said Wigiot, so that we would all remember all the time his favorite question, where is God in all this? Wigiot, his second favorite statement is, remember your baptism. He would always remind us that. He was teaching a series on living the baptismal life. And each week he would present a case study to us, and we were to ask the Wigiot question of this case study, and then he would invite us to have the discussion that he called Walking Wet, Remember Your Baptism. And we were to come up with some very pastoral ways to help whatever this case was, to help the person remember their baptism. Well, one day it was pouring rain, and Dr. Everett was standing by the side of his car, balancing his umbrella, a stack of books, his briefcase, and trying to get his keys out of his pocket. Now, it's not very pastoral of us, but the class just got out, and as we walked past the parking lot, I think most of the students gave him a little extra splash, but everybody said, walk wet, remember your baptism, as he stood there getting wetter and wetter. Remember your baptism. An old catechism definition of baptism is an invisible sign of a visible sign of an invisible grace. We are surrounded and upheld every day by the grace of God. Martin Luther needed to be reminded of that truth. Throughout his life, he suffered a great deal from depression and a sense of unworthiness, even to despair. And to keep those demons at bay, he had a plaque or an inscription over his desk that said, remember, you are baptized. And he encouraged others to always remember your baptism, even to the point of suggesting to people that the morning shower or the splash in the sink would be a way to remember your baptism. He said, before your feet touch the floor in the morning, mark your forehead with a cross and remember that you are baptized. When you wash your face, remember that you are baptized. That physical action of marking the cross on your forehead or that physical splash of water recalls for us the truth that we have been forgiven and cleansed, that we are claimed and made holy, that we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, and we have been given a new identity. A new identity in Christ. Our name might be Fadden or Zimmerman or Smart or Thigerson, as the children told us this morning, but our name is Christian. Our name is Child of God because we have been claimed. And God's grace and God's love claims us over and over again. Those who are baptized struggle just like everybody else. There's no straight and easy path to being all that God has created us to be. But we do have a relationship with God that allows us our rightful place, allows us to claim that place as God's beloved. Remember your baptism and hear God's voice saying, you are my son, my daughter. You are my beloved child, and with you I am well pleased. There's this great story that Fred Craddock, who is a famous preacher, he tells this story, and I read it in his book Thursday or Friday. And he tells this story that of an experience that he had. So I'm going to tell his story. One night he was having dinner with his wife, and they were on vacation. And he noticed in this restaurant there was an elderly man, and he was kind of going from table to table visiting with people. And Dr. Craddock thought maybe this man was the maitre d' or the manager or something, and he said to his wife, "I hope he doesn't come over here. I am on vacation. I've had it up to here with people. I really don't want this man. I don't want to talk to anybody." Well, of course, the man did come to his table and asked him where they were from, and as the conversation continued, he asked him, what do you do? And when Dr. Craddock said that he was a pastor and he taught preaching, the man pulled the chair out of the table and sat down, and he said, "I have a preaching story for you." And this is the story that the man tells. He said, "My mother was not married when I was born, and that was in our little village in rural Tennessee. Was quite a shame." And said, whenever I went to town, especially on Saturday when I would go with my mother shopping, I would hate it because people would look at me. And I always knew that people were looking at me trying to figure out, wonder who his daddy is. Who does that little boy belong to? And he had that feeling that whenever anybody was looking at him, they were judging him, judging his mother, and trying to figure out who he belonged to. They didn't go to church. This man said, "We didn't go to church because we didn't want anyone to say, trash like you doesn't belong in a holy place like this." Well, when he was about 14 years old, a new preacher came to town and gave a talk at school chapel. And he seemed kind and witty, and he seemed genuinely interested in the people that he was talking to. And this man said, "And I liked him." So I started going to church, but not wanting to engage anyone. He said, "I slipped in after the service started, and I would come in and sit in the back pew and listen to the sermon and then slip out before anyone had a chance to say anything to me." Well, one Sunday, he tells the story, "I didn't make it out. And I was sitting there, and suddenly a hand on my shoulder. And I looked up and saw this pastor staring into my eyes. And I knew what he was thinking." And he said, "Who's your father?" I knew he was going to say that. And he looked at me, and I knew he was trying to figure out who I looked like, that he might be able to figure out who my father is. That was the question that had haunted him his whole life, and now this pastor is asking him. And his chin started to quiver, but before he got a chance to say anything, the pastor says, "Wait, I know who you belong to. I can see the striking resemblance. You're a child of God. You are God's son. I can see it in your eyes." And then he patted him on the back and said, "Now go out and claim your inheritance." So this man in the diner said, "That statement changed my life. In fact, that was the beginning of my life. I was given an identity. I knew who I was, child of God." He walked away, and Dr. Craddock said, "What's your name?" And he said, "Ben Hooper." And he left. And as they were driving out, left the restaurant, as they were driving away, Dr. Craddock remembered that his grandfather had told him that the people of Tennessee had twice elected a man who was born out of wedlock to be the governor of Tennessee, and his name was Ben Hooper. And that story, that statement, had changed his life, had given him an identity, and he knew who he was and claimed his inheritance. You have been baptized claimed by God. You are God's daughter, God's son. I can see it. There's a striking resemblance. Claim your inheritance. Remember your baptism. And hear the words of God ring in your ears. You are my son. You are my daughter, my beloved child. And with you, I am well pleased. Amen.